points. Max, when the Cronulla riots happened and when the ABA came down with their adverse findings and John went round town bagging the regulator, Chris Chapman, Alan was quoted saying that Chapman had, quote, more jobs than I've had feeds. Mr. Chapman has gone around this town on many occasions to me and to others seeking references to be written for his appointment to a stack of jobs. Now, for mine, as a small shareholder sitting in Melbourne, the Cronulla riot situation was an outrageous thing for this company to be involved in the way that our company incited the riots. And then to have the regulator besmirched like that, I thought was just disgraceful. And as chairman of the company, we never heard from you. You never said boo. Now, what were your thoughts on that conduct? Was it appropriate, and why didn't you take any action to rein this sort of cowboy behaviour in? Do you really think it's appropriate to use the exemption in the corps law to not disclose the salaries of our on-air staff? I mean, they are our most important employees. And
they're not part of management.
Yeah, but what I'm asking you the question is why did you choose not to disclose them when clearly they are important? I know there's a legal loophole which allows you to do that. I'm asking you to justify the decision not to take the good governance grounds of actually disclosing the key executive / on-air talent salaries, which you could have chosen to do. All right, well, I guess it goes to a second point is, I would argue that Alan is probably the second or third most important executive in the company. He makes decisions, all sorts of decisions about news. You can argue he's news director as well. Well, not by title, I'm saying by reality. I've just got three or four issues for you, Chairman. It'll probably take 5 or 10 minutes at most. First one is risks for the shareholders with a change of government federally. I would have thought there's two risks, probably material. One is a lack of relevance for us with the inability of our breakfast presenter to be able to ring the PM on his mobile and get him on. So if we get a freeze placed on us by the federal government like the Yemma government has done, our relevance will dwindle and our ability to pull the snowy float and do a few other things will also dwindle. So I'm wondering if you've looked at the risk management side of this, of not being able to deliver those power outcomes and gain that access which the station is renowned for. And the second point is the risk of a regulatory backlash against us by a Labor government and by a regulator who's been insulted by our largest shareholder and by our most prominent on-air talent. And obviously we've had that regulatory protection all these years, or Alan has, from his relationship with the PM. But once that's gone, there's surely got to be a risk that, you know, we could find substantial penalties, substantially tougher regime, and license Alan off-air, etc., if they really wanted to throw the book at us. They could. So how as a board are you managing those risks or assessing those risks if they were to emerge, as now seems likely, particularly the change of government seems likely? I think we're paying Alan $4 or $5 million a year. Did we approve as a board Alan applying for the job as Wallabies coach? And were we going to commensurately cut his salary for the amount of time that would take? I mean, that would be close to a full-time job. Did this board sanction the idea that our biggest asset and number one talent was actually going to go off and take another full-time job? And it's been a wonderful publicity stunt. I mean, announcing it in front of the 2GB sign was brilliant. So as a PR stunt, fantastic. But
there
I'm assuming he's gone and done it without any board approval. I mean, did you specifically say, Alan, you can go and apply for this job? Did you specifically approve this? Got two more issues there, Chair. First one is Chris Bartz has launched a scurrilous attack on our greatest asset, which a lot of people sold a lot of copies. I'm just wondering if the board has read it, anyone on the board has read it, and whether they regard it to have helped or hindered our company. Was there anything in there which upset anyone? It was a big attack on our chief brand. Actually, one of the things I did read, ties into my last question, one of the things I did read was about Qantas cash for comment deal where Alan received hundreds of thousands and lots of free flights to plug Qantas. I was curious that I don't think Alan took any sort of adverse position against the proposed privatisation of Qantas. No, I'm asking a question about what Alan has done in the last 6 months on air.
About the nature of the contractual arrangement.
That's correct, yeah. But what I'm asking now, my question is that Alan has a history with Qantas in his previous life. Alan was a very contentious privatisation of an Australian icon asset. Alan didn't take any position that I heard about against this sale, and my friend here, Mark, was the financial advisor on the deal who stood to make tens of millions of dollars in success fees if the deal went through. And I'm just curious as to whether there were any discussions between our second largest shareholder and Alan. Oh, I watch Media Watch and read the media section.
The answer to that is unequivocal, no.
So you think it would be a fair statement to say that he railed against the privatisation of Qantas? All right, okay. Thank you for being generous with answering all these questions.